The scripture reading today is Matthew 13, verses 47 through 50. You can find that on page 819 in your pew Bibles if you wish to follow along. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that is thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Thank you, Rich. Good morning, everyone. Please have your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 13, where he just read for us. We'll be getting to that in a moment. Just one quick announcement before we get to the lesson, and that is to remind all of us that next weekend is our annual church retreat. For those of us who are planning on going, there will be a brief meeting after worship this morning. We will keep it brief, but we just need to cover some technical details with everyone. By the way, if you're still sort of on the fence, we've got a little bit of room left. If by some chance at the last minute you haven't signed up and you would like to attend, or suddenly your time is available next weekend, you can see us about that. But for those of us who are attending, there will be a brief meeting up here after worship. For those of you who will be here next Sunday morning, there will be worship and Bible classes as usual. Not as usual, at the same times. The Bible classes will be a little bit different in that the teens and all of the adults will meet in here in the auditorium for Bible class at 9:30. A couple of our younger classes might be consolidated we know that a number of our younger ones will be at the retreat, so just for convenience sake, we'll combine some of those classes. But Bible classes will take place at 9:30, and worship will be at 10:30. And so if you're not going to be at the retreat, please be here, be a part of our regular worship together here. This morning, we conclude this series that we've done called Gone Fishing. Based on a number of places in the Gospels where Jesus talks about what it looks like to seek and save the lost and the ways in which he compares that to fishing, to literal going out back in their times, to the Sea of Galilee, really, and going fishing and saying there are so many similarities to fishing that helps us appreciate the work before us as Christians today, as followers of Jesus Christ, as disciples. He says, you follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And one thing that we've emphasized in this series, if we follow close enough and long enough to Jesus, we will be transformed into his image. And his primary work when he was on earth was to seek and save the lost. And if we're going to follow in his steps, that's going to be our primary work as well. This morning we're going to conclude this series with a parable from Matthew 13. And I want to start with my own parable, if you will allow me. To what shall we liken the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is like a fishbowl. A fishbowl, you know, the nice thing about fishbowls is they just come in certain sizes. And you can pick your size. If you want a big aquarium at your house, you can pick a bigger aquarium. But if you want a smaller, easier to maintain fishbowl, you can have something like this around your house. And the nice thing about fishbowls, as you look at it and you consider, you say, what kind of fish do I want? And you start, if you're in our family, we like pets and animals that are low maintenance. And that's because we're lazy. And we don't want to do too much. I should say I'm lazy. I really do. Somebody asked me about a frog picture, and I'll tell you more about that later if you want to know. Somebody said, what were you doing during the frog situation yesterday? I said, I was asleep on the couch. But we can say, you know, I'd like to pick and choose the kind of fish that I want in my fishbowl. Ones that are pretty, ones that are easier to maintain, ones that suit my lifestyle. And so we put our fish in our fishbowl. And to what shall we liken the kingdom of heaven? It's like a fishbowl. I sort of like sometimes the decorations inside this fishbowl. We've got this little fern kind of thing going on here. We've got some rocks with certain colors that you might not be able to see from where you are, but it has a certain appearance in it, and it suits me, and I like that. Until all of a sudden I realize, you know, this fishbowl is starting to look like it came from 1975. And so I get new decorations that look like they're from 1995. And that just makes things look a little bit more up-to-date and better. My fishbowl has some neat features. One of them is, you might not be able to tell, it's got a light. We've got lights in our fishbowl. And if you like this kind of light, you can come and hang out or look at my fishbowl. We've got a filter to keep things clean. And the other nice thing is we've got somebody with our fishbowl who on a regular basis feeds our fish. You know, just every so often, regularly scheduled program, you just drop the fish pellets in there and the fish stay happy. As long as we keep things clean and neat and organized and manageable and maintainable, the fish are happy, we're happy, but everything stays really confined, really controlled, because that's the way we like things in our kingdom. Well, does that sometimes sound like the way that we compare the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God? You know, we say, well, oh, the filter, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And by the way, is there a problem with this fishbowl this morning? What's that, Mike? There's no fish. There's no water either. Over time, what happens when you have a fishbowl mentality when it comes to the kingdom of heaven is the lights go off, the filters quit working, the water goes away, and the fish are gone too. And it's because we had our mindset of what the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God was supposed to be like, and not what God's was. By the way, one other thing I could have said was, you know, sometimes with fish bowls, as long as we have enough fish in the bowl, we're pretty happy. And as soon as they start to disappear or go away, we're like, you know what, maybe we should get some more fish. And what do we often do? We go to somebody else's fish bowl. A lot of times it's Walmart. We go to somebody else's fish bowl and say, we need to put more fish in here, instead of really getting fish where they come from. And I don't say all of this in this tongue-in-cheek parable to make light of what's going on with many churches today. But in churches of Christ in the United States, literally the lights are going off and there are no more fish in the fish bowls. Recently, some studies have come out saying more than one congregation of the Lord's church is closing per week in the United States. And there are some projections that say we're not too far from it being up to maybe two or three congregations per week closing up shop, so to speak. How does that happen? Well, I would say not every time, but it often happens when we think about the kingdom as a fishbowl. And we don't think about the kingdom the way Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit actually describe the kingdom. Because nowhere in Scripture will you find a fishbowl, but you do find a lot of fish nets. And that brings us to our parable this morning, our first point, that if we're going to take God's vision of the kingdom seriously, we've got to cast our nets as wide as we can. To illustrate this point, where are my volunteers? I'm going to have Caleb and Noah up here. Anytime you start talking about seas and water, you got to have somebody named Noah up front. I'm going to do this so it doesn't hurt your all's eyes. We'll get back to that. All right. One of you on the other side, please. Caleb, you will go over there. And Noah. All right. Now, you all just pick up those bars like we talked about and hold that up. All right. Turn it to where everybody can see. It's a little heavy here. You got it? All right. Now, you are going to look at this and say, that's your hammock, Blaine. And guess what? You would be right. This is a hammock. But I want you to use your imagination. And this, in many ways, represents what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 13. That Rich read for us, the parable of the net. Your Bible might have a subtitle, Parable of the Dragnet. Last week we talked about fishing, and I intentionally had some guys up here talking about the way we fish today. We fish with poles, and we put bait at the end of the lines with hooks and all that. But if you were Peter, Andrew, James, John, people like that in the first century, this is largely the kind of fishing that you practice. And in Jesus' parable, the word for net would have been a dragnet. And here's the way it worked. We would have two boats. Noah would be on one boat, and Caleb would be on the other boat. And they would be on a sea like the Sea of Galilee. And where they thought there was going to be a large collection of fish, they would drop this net in the water from their two different boats, and then the boats would sort of circle out to stretch that net as wide as it could go to catch as many fish as it could. And then once they hauled in those fish, they sort of came back together, the two boats did, and then they gathered that net. and then they would bring that into shore. And so you can sort of visualize how that would work. And the hammock's the closest thing I'll ever have to a dragnet. But you can see how they would go out, collect all the fish, and come back together. Thank you, guys. You all can lay that back down, go sit back with your families. The fish stayed in. That's a good question. The fish stayed in because as you had that tension on the rope, on the net, and they were gathering, they couldn't swim out of it. And as the boats came back together, it sort of just wrapped them upon themselves. I would dare say, I'm not an expert on this, I would dare say every now and then, probably a fish here and there might escape, but you would collect a huge haul of fish. Now, the reason why I wanted to illustrate that to you is because this looks nothing like a fishbowl. And the thing about fish bowls is I get to carefully select the fish that would help me most with the way I see my fishbowl being played out. I have a certain vision of what I want taking place in my fishbowl. I want certain types of fish, certain size of fish, and I might only want so many fish, but all of a sudden when I start fishing with this, I don't know what I'm going to catch. And Jesus, listen to his words in Matthew 13, verse 47. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net or a dragnet that was thrown into the sea. And listen to what he says. Gathered what kind of fish? Fish of every kind. Now, last week when I had Jerry and Jordan and Carson up here, I know when they go fishing and when I've been fishing in the past, usually you say you want to catch a certain kind of fish. You don't fish for bass the same way you fish for catfish. And the list goes on and on. You have a targeted, specific kind of thing you're wanting to catch. But when you fish with nets, guess what? You're just fishing for everything you can. This would have been one of Jesus' early clues, especially in Matthew's gospel. One of Jesus' early clues that his kingdom was not specific to a certain people, a certain nation, a certain race, a certain language, or any other differentiation between people. And as we know, the Jews especially, those who were first listening to Jesus as he preached and declared the gospel throughout the regions of Judea and Galilee, what did they think? That the kingdom of heaven is just for me and people like me. I'm a Jew, I'm a descendant of Abraham, and this is what it means to live in God's kingdom. It means to be a very specific kind of person. And Jesus here is giving them a clue. If you want to participate in God's kingdom activity, you throw nets into a big sea with a really big net, and what do you catch? You catch fish of all kinds. You don't go into it with preconceived notions. You got to look like me, talk like me, think like me, have the same background as me, even have the same religious background as me. He says you catch fish of every kind. And one of the things that I have to work on myself, and one of the things hopefully as we've gone through this series, I hope that we've grown an appreciation of, is God's kingdom work sometimes is a lot bigger than the way we think about it. It's not about this little fishbowl where we only really get serious maybe about fishing when some fish disappear or go away. It's this big net. And you never know once you cast those nets as wide as you can, you never know what you're going to catch. And here's something else. When you cast those nets as wide as you can, that's hard work. I said in our family, we like fish and pets that are low maintenance. Sometimes we like souls that are low maintenance. Souls that are pre-prepared. It's just sort of like, hey, just come worship with us and everything's going to be fine. We like those kind of people. But what about when fish, when souls require more of me? More commitment to them. More teaching. More sacrifice on my part. My willingness to serve. I just don't have time. I just don't feel like working to help those kind of fish as much. Well, that's not the way Jesus told the parable. Because when you worked with dragnets, guess what? It's hard and it's dirty work a lot of times. Think about some of the stuff that you'd probably rake up from time to time as you hauled in those nets. And then you bring them back to shore and all the work that would begin even after you brought them to shore. Well, I don't think it's any coincidence that Jesus compares that to our kingdom work. But it begins by casting our nets as wide as we can. Then, what do? Once we cast those nets, we catch as many as we can. This is implied as part of the second point. We catch as many as we can. Again, he says there's all kinds going into this. But I find it interesting And I don't think it's a coincidence, really, that when Jesus compares kingdom activity to fishing, and he talks about casting nets into seas, when those nets come back with fish, how many fish do they come back with? A few? Does he talk about nets that have two or three? Last week we looked at Luke chapter 5, where he tells Peter and Andrew and James and John, after this long night of fishing, they caught no fish, as we sing with the kids. Jesus says, cast your nets out there one more time. And Peter says, you know, Lord, it's been a bad night fishing, not really a good time to fish, but at your word I'm going to do this. And then once they do that, what happens to their nets? They're practically breaking because they've caught so many fish. Jesus, yes, he's showing who he is. This is a miracle that takes place, but I even think beyond the miracle, there's a teaching point Jesus is making. When you fish the way I've called you to fish, don't be surprised when you catch so many more than you ever imagined. And here in the parable of the dragnet, verse 48 says, when it was empty? No. When it had a few fish? No. When it was full. When it was full. And as we'll see in a moment, he says when it was full, he says men drew it ashore. And he's going to compare that to angels being involved in the return of Christ and a final judgment. But they return, if you want to extend this metaphor here, they return once the nets are full. Why am I making such a big deal about that? I don't want you to raise your hand, because even me, I've been guilty of this. I figure all of us, if we were honest, would raise our hands. But many, if not all of us, have been taught to believe and think that Jesus is going to return to this earth when what? When things get bad enough. We talk about how, oh, we look at the world today, and, you know, it's just getting so evil and so immoral and so corrupt. You see the stuff on the news. You see stuff going on in the community. And I just think, you know, we're getting so close to days like Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah, and I just think the Lord's about to return. Isn't that the way we've been taught to think? When things get bad enough, that's when the Lord returns. Now, I'm here to tell you, I don't know when the Lord's going to return. And Jesus himself, when he walked the earth, you know what he said? When he was on earth, Matthew 24, 36, you can see this yourself. Jesus said when he was on earth, he didn't even know when this was going to be. He says, no one knows the day or hour, not even the Son. I think he probably knows today, but when he was on earth, he didn't know. And so all of a sudden, when we start speculating about, oh, you know, it's when this is going to happen, use these signs, or just when things get bad enough, none of us really knows. But let me throw out an alternative theory to when things get bad enough. What if, hypothetically, what if the Lord's actually waiting for things to get better? And he's waiting for us to get busier. Isn't that a much neater and better thought? That the Lord's waiting until, you know what, until his people, the church, until we just really get on fire and we really start seeking and saving the lost, and we just, like they did 2,000 years ago, we start turning the world upside down again. Maybe then he says, now's the time for me to return. Because as I read this parable, it says, when it was full. Jesus hasn't come back yet. You know what that tells me? His nets aren't full enough yet. And there's a passage that we often cite but don't see all the details. It's going to be on the screen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. And this is talking about some of the things we're talking about here, the return of Christ and the end of the world. It says, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, speaking about this current existence, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? Saying, you know what, if we know the Lord's going to return, what kind of people should we be? We should live holy and godly lives. Now listen to what Peter writes next in verse 12. Waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God. Now, if you were to ask me, just on a vocabulary test, what does the word hasten mean? I would say it means to bring something about. Sometimes to speed something along. When you hasten, you don't go slow and you don't impede something. You actually do something to help it happen. I'm not going to pretend to know I know everything about this passage, but I know it says what it says. And maybe in the language that Peter employs here, he's saying, you know what? We talk about the return of the Lord. What kind of people should we be? We should be the kind of people who live holy and godly lives. And in so doing, we're hastening the Lord's return. And in so doing, maybe what we're really getting at, instead of waiting for the world to get worse and worse, we're saying maybe we need to get busy. And we need to get to work. We need to cast our nets wide and be catching more fish. And then, when they're fooling God's eyes, and I don't know when that's going to be, maybe the Lord then says, you know what? It's time for my return. I seem to believe that that's a much better way to approach the rest of my life than just wringing my hands, worrying about how horrible the world is. Do you think that's a better philosophy? Instead of whining and worrying about all the horrible lost people out there and what they're doing to the current state of things, maybe me saying, hey, God's given me a mission, and that's to cast these nets out wide and catch as many as I can. And then when He returns, we'll be like, wow, this is something to be excited about, because look how many other people we've helped prepare for this day, for the return of Christ. So catch as many as you can. Once we've cast the nets and caught as many as we can, what do we need to do then? Our third and final point, we need to clean them the best we can. Now, I'm not an expert in fishing, but I have fished enough to know this. Cleaning fish is about the most inaccurate term you could ever think of with what takes place there. I remember when I was a kid, I'd go fishing with my dad, and he said, now we're going to clean the fish. And I imagine, you know, soap and water, and you know, and then I saw what happened. I was like, this is not clean at all. This is the most inaccurate term I've ever heard for anything. But when you think about what Jesus speaks to in the conclusion of this parable, He's going to speak to some serious stuff. He's going to speak of His return. He's going to speak of sorting. Fishermen like Peter, when they got their dragnet back to the shore, they opened it back up. Some of the fish were ready to eat, and some weren't ready to eat. Some weren't good to eat. And so you had to separate the good from the bad. What's Jesus talking about here? He's talking about judgment. He's talking about the reality that there will be those who have been redeemed by Christ, and those who are prepared for His return, those who have lived for Him, those who have kept seeking and saving lost, and there will be some who He says, I never knew you. You didn't really follow me. You didn't really claim me. You don't belong to me. And as you read this parable, back in Matthew chapter 13, verse 49, He says, so it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, folks. If Jesus says it, we better take it seriously. And Jesus knew the cost of the stakes. He knew the stakes greater than anybody else. Jesus said more about hell. You know, a lot of people like to talk about Jesus, you know, and certain parts of His teaching, certain parts of His ministry, but do you realize that in Scripture, Jesus said more about judgment and hell than anybody else? Put Paul and Peter and all of them together, Jesus said more about judgment and about the reality that there are two eternal destinies than anybody else. And so we need to get serious about that. And the reason why I did it wasn't to be a fear-monger. It wasn't just to get people worked up. It's because He knew just how great eternity is with His Father, and He knew how horrible eternity in the absence of His Father is. But something else I've got to keep in mind as I read this parable is He hasn't returned yet. And also from Scripture, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 tells me that God does not wish for anybody to be lost. And thank God for that. God's desire for each and every one of us and each and every one of the fish that are still out at sea, that they all get caught and they all get cleaned. And that when there is an eternal sorting, that all find themselves with the Father. That is the Lord's will and the Lord's desire. Here's something else I need to keep in mind as I read this parable. Right now is not sorting time. And I'm not in the position to do the sorting. whether now or when the Lord returns. Read this parable. Who does Jesus say is going to do the sorting? He says angels. I take Jesus at His word. So that tells me I will never be in the position of sorting. And today's not the day of sorting. So what do I need to do? I need to help as many people as possible to get ready for that day. One, I don't make a prejudgment and say, you know what, Rich? I just don't think you're good enough. And so I've already sorted Rich out over here to those who'll be tossed away. That puts me in the position of God, or at least an angel. And I'm neither. And so I need to help Rich and every other person that I can be prepared for this moment. And that comes with a sort of cleaning, doesn't it? Yes, part of that begins by putting Christ on in baptism, but it does not end there, does it? You see, the Great Commission, where Jesus tells us, and it will be on the screen, but you can turn to it in Matthew chapter 28. The Great Commission is really what this is all about. Jesus says that we go and we make what? We make disciples. That's what we've been talking about all throughout this year. What it means for us to be disciples. What it means for us to follow Jesus. He says, if you follow me, you will be a disciple. But also, if you follow me, you will go and you will make disciples. Well, how do we do that, Lord? He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's all you got to do. Is that what Jesus says? No. That's the beginning of the process. He says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. You see, once we cast those nets wide and we catch as many as we can, then begins sometimes the even harder work of helping one another grow in Christ. And you don't do that by just telling people, show up in our little fishbowl 1, 2, 3 times a week. Be drawn to our lights and our filters and the rocks. No. Jesus says that what this looks like is we work with one another. We teach one another on an ongoing basis what it means to truly follow Jesus. It's not just about keeping a list of rules. It's not just about holding to selected commandments that are most convenient to my life. It's about looking at my Lord and Savior and saying, I've been called to be like Him. And I want to help as many people as possible be like Him as well. That idea of sanctification, setting ourselves apart from the world, that's part of this process. Because there's going to be a day when the Lord returns, and there's going to be a sorting. And by the way, in that sorting, if you read everything that Scripture says about that sorting, it's not just going to ask who lines up with Jesus and who doesn't. If you believe things like the parable of the talents, and I do, and I think you do too, Scripture also teaches us one of the things we'll be asked is, who's been working on my behalf? Who's been serving others? Who's been seeking and saving the lost? He doesn't want anybody to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Jesus didn't die on a cross just for my sins. And Jesus didn't die on a cross just for Morristown Church of Christ. He came to this earth because He so loved the world. And those of us who know just how amazing and how wonderful that grace is, we want to spread it and share it with as many people as possible. But the only way it starts is by us casting those nets out wide. As I've said throughout this series, when we in faith do that, and when our desire, I really appreciate Russ's prayer this morning, that we see others the way God sees them because that's who they truly are. Every soul is precious in the sight of God. No matter how different from me they might be, no matter how uncomfortable I might be around them, they are somebody that God sent His Son to this earth to die for. And who am I to say that I've already sorted them out and said, you know what, that's just not somebody who would come to Christ. That's not somebody who would be serious about the Lord. That's not my role. What's my role? To cast, to catch, and to clean. To help people be prepared. And at Morristown Church of Christ, beginning with me, I hope that as we go into the future, that we take this level of discipleship more personally and more seriously. Because it's Jesus who said, follow me, I will make you. He's going to do this. I will make you fishers of men. And what this world, this big wide sea that we live in right now, you know what they need more than anything else? It's what Jesus prayed for. Jesus looked to the fields, and what did he tell his disciples? He said, pray not for those souls. He said, pray for workers. But more laborers be sent out to the harvest. Because the work is great. The laborers are few. And maybe once we get more and more laborers, that's when we see God's kingdom in its fullness. At work and on fire for the Lord. As we close with our follow this week, if you were here last week, you'll say, that's the exact same thing you had last week. You're right. Sometimes it's repetition that reminds us of what we need to be doing. Let's go fishing. As I said last week, we're here to help each other on that fishing expedition. You might say to yourself, I've never done it before. Well, you start by just doing your best. Whether it's inviting somebody to worship, or maybe you go to a restaurant today, and as you sit down to eat, you look at the waiter or waitress and say, you know, we're about to have a prayer before we eat. Is there something we could pray for you about? You'd be amazed at how many times people respond, yeah, I've got some things you can pray for. You can invite them or leave them a little bit of information. Say, if you'd like to talk more with me, you know, I know probably in the middle of a restaurant they might be busy, but that's what it looks like. Just in small, simple ways. The person you work with that you know life's hard right now. The person you go to school with whose home life isn't what it should be and those people know that they need something else. What do they need more than anything else? They need Jesus Christ. And they need us to tell them about Him. This year we've been talking about living with, living like, and living for the Lord. One thing that I've concluded is that you will never get closer to Jesus on this earth than when you're actively doing what He came to do, seeking and saving the lost. And the way that you become most like Jesus is the same way, by seeking and saving the lost. If you want to know what it is to be like Jesus, do what He did. You want to live for Jesus? Well, bring other people to Him. That's why He came to this earth. This morning, if you've never come to Him, if you are one of the fish who are waiting to be caught, well, we're here to receive you, but more importantly, your Lord and Savior is here to receive you. If you need to be washed in the waters of baptism, having your sins forgiven, not because that in and of itself is anything special, but because of what it represents, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, knowing that He died for you and He rose again to give you eternal life. If you know you need that and you know who He is, we want you to become a Christian today. Become a disciple. For those of us who are Christians, let us fulfill our calling to cast wide, to catch many, and then to help each other. Be prepared for that day. And if for some reason you're not prepared or there's just something going on in your life, you need us to pray with you, pray for you, we want to help you. Whatever your need is, please come forward while we stand and sing.